Amen. Go to your Bible. Go with me to John 2, verse 8. I'm going to read some of the text here with you. I'm going to touch on building a well and 4 points, and then we'll be done. John 2, verse 8. John 2, verse 8. Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. And they took them and they filled them to the brim. They filled them all the way to the brim. The same word there that Paul uses in Colossians to say you have an above life found in Christ that's all the way to the brim is used here again when Jesus says, fill them to the brim. Don't be half filled in Jesus, be all the way filled to the brim. Empty yourselves completely, allow him to fill you all the way to the top. And he says, what I'll do with your life will be noticeable. If you'll empty your life, if you'll just empty yourself. Now, Jesus here is referencing the traditional water pots. That's not me. Is that me? Yes, it was. Jesus is referencing water pots. And they were laid up alongside the walls of the wedding feast. And Jesus said, take those water pots that are empty and bring them to me. Bring them to me. I don't want half full water pots, though. You got to empty them, right? So they which is to say, don't bring half of you to Jesus. Empty yourself completely. Allow him to fill you completely. And Jesus said, what will happen in that moment is if you'll just empty yourself, in that moment, I'll fill you. And what I fill you with, there'll be a discernible and noticeable difference between you and those who aren't filled. I'll fill you with glory that will look like and taste like wine. There will be a glory that will come on you that has come upon me. It'll suddenly now come upon you. You'll have the same glory. The glory that the Father has given to me, I then will give you if you'll just empty yourself and allow me to fill you. There'll be an unspoken glory is defined as an unspoken manifestation of your Father. An unspoken manifestation of your Father. If you all know Marlon. Right, Pastor Marlon? If you took Pastor Marlon and Braxton and you let Braxton walk through the room, what you would say about Braxton is he looks and sounds and acts just like his father. Even if Marlon wasn't there, you would look at Braxton and you would say he bears a resemblance to his father. He doesn't have to say anything. He looks like his father. He acts like his father. He has an unspoken manifestation of his father. Jesus says, if you'll bring me you empty, I'll fill you and there'll be glory on you. And it'll be so discernible that people will look at you and they'll say, there's a glory that's on you that's divine. There's you, like they're average, but you are supernatural. You have something that they don't. There's wine about your life. He says, and I'll make you discernible. And then what I want you to do when that happens is I want you then to take your life and I want you to draw some out. Verse 8. Draw some out. It's a reference to a well. Jesus is referencing a well. And he says, when this occurs, when you empty you and I fill you, you become a well. You become a source that holds and contains the glory of heaven and it never runs dry. Meaning a well continues to feed. It doesn't stop. It just keeps feeding. It breaks forth like a spring. He says, and then I want you to draw some out. Draw some out. Draw some out the next time you feel empty. Draw some out the next time, you know, you become a little frustrated. Draw some out. Draw some out when the phone calls come and it's the hospital and it's the doctor and they say this or they say that. Draw some out. Not until that happens will you have anything to draw out. and draw some out. Isaiah then makes a reference to it as well in 12:3. He says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Isaiah says that there's going to be a well of salvation created in your life on the day that you surrender yourself to Christ. There's a well that's created in your life that doesn't run dry. And it's a well of salvation. It's the same well that David made mention of when he said, oh, that somebody would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. He was referencing the well of Christ that was about to come. He said, oh, I wish that somebody would give me a drink from that well. And in times of famine, in times of drought, this is what's going to have to happen. There's going to have to be this well that's created in your life that says, oh, I need a drink from the wellspring of life. I'm famished. I'm dry. Create a deep well. Tap into the salvation of God. And then he says, take some out now. And here, I want you to listen to this. I want you to take some out. I want you to draw some of the well that's in you. There's a well in there. I want you to draw it out. And when you draw it out, I don't want you to hide behind it. I want you to take it to the master of the feast. I want you to take it to the ones running the wedding feast. I want you to take it to the bosses. I want you to take it to Congress. I want you to take it to the classroom. I want you to take it to the mayor's office. And I want you to draw some of that out. And I want you to let him taste and see how good the Lord is. I want him to notice what's on you that's not on them. And if we'll be faithful to draw some out. But what happens? What happens? Really, what happens? When the opportunities present themselves, most of us respond in fear. We respond in fear because we know, you and I both know, that what you got is different than what they got. You as a child of God, you know that you know the unction of the Lord on the inside of you. This is what cracks me up about people who deny God. Don't tell me that you don't know it. You know it. I know it. I had an experience with him. You can't convince me otherwise. And so you and I both know that there is a distinguishing difference between you and them, and it is wine. It is what Jesus said. You give me you, I give you me, and now you turn into glory. Wherever you go, it's distinguishable. But what happens is circumstances arise. Things will happen, and God will say, go now. Go do it now. Go draw some out. Give them some. Go give them some. Give him some. Go. And what happens is, and if you listen, if you don't hear anything I say, listen to this, because I promise you, this is the gospel. You want to be successful? You wanna make a difference? Here's what you gotta do. Stop caring what they think. That's the coolest you'll ever be. That's right. That's the most original you'll ever be. Young people, listen to me. You want to be cool? Stop caring what everybody thinks. You think about all the people out there who are making a difference in the world. They got one thing in common. They don't care what you think. Our own president. This brother does not care what you think. I could name a ton of them. Kanye West. Young people. He just ain't care. He just don't care. He just ain't care. He does not care what you think. He don't care if you think he's crazy. He's selling shoes for $1,000 a pop. He don't care. Think about all the culture creators out there. The one thing they have in common is they just don't care. They're true to the voice inside of them that says, create, create, draw from the well, paint something beautiful, sing something lovely. Like, and that's the only thing they listen to is that thing inside of them that says, you are it. It's you. You make the difference. The wine inside of you is the thing that intoxicates them, that will make them love your stuff. Whether you're writing a song, singing a song, whether you're writing books or working in a factory or working at McDonald's, it doesn't matter what you do. But if you get to the point where you'll say, this stuff comes from my well, and I don't care what, I don't care. Take a drink. But you gotta not care. In the moment, the one you must fear is God. The one you must listen to is God. And if you can be as confident, if you can learn to be as confident in those moments as you are in this moment, we can change the world. We can change the world. But as long as you're willing to take the glory of heaven, the wine of God that you got, stick it in your pocket, and then when opportunity presents itself, you just go, I don't know, I don't want to seem weird. Everyone's done it. Everyone in this room has done it. God said, go tell that person what I'm saying right now to you. Just go hug them. Just go do this. Just go do that. And the thing you said, oh, God, that's kind of weird. God's like, that's not weird, that's wine. That's not weird. That's wine. Yeah. Nobody does that. Do you think I don't want to use President Trump because he just. But this dude will text. He'll text in the middle of the night. He'll tweet stuff in the middle of the night. Like, think about people writing music. Like the really big names right now, like Oprah Winfrey. Think about Oprah. Like this. Do you think and. You think, like, in the middle of the night, she's, like caring what Marlon thinks or Sue or Lauren. If I say that, that's kind of weird. She don't care. She's Oprah Winfrey. And if you can get to the point to where you say, I'm Paul Jordan. I don't care what you think. That is the coolest moment. That is the most heaven moment the earth will ever know. If you could just say, I'm Roger Rouser. I don't care what you think. I wish I could go back and start life all over again with this little thing set in my mind. Where I wouldn't care. You know what opportunities in my life? There were so many opportunities in my life that I shrunk back from. I hesitated in fear. I mean, there were camp meetings, you know, like where all these huge speakers were there back in the early 90s. Like T.D. Jakes is sitting on the front row. For those of you who don't know him, like he's like this amazing guy in the, you know, but he's sitting on the front row. And then I got like Minister Lee and Minister Greg and Minister James. And they're all like, and then Pastor leans over me. He said, go up there, pray the house down, Troy. Do you know how afraid I was? I was afraid. I knew what God had called me to. I knew the glory that I had. Deep inside of my heart, the eternity that God put there, I knew the glory I possessed. I was aware of it. But what scared me was what they thought. What scared me was what they thought. And you know why David's brothers couldn't defeat Goliath? That's why they couldn't do it. Because they cared what everybody else thought. They were shaking. They didn't know what God said. They just knew what everybody else said. Do you know that's the giant? Do you know that giant will kill you if you go out there? Do you know how big he is? And David just showed up and said, I don't care. I know what God said about me. God told me who I am. It doesn't matter. He's going to take what I do and he's going to make victory out of it. But not until you get there to where you know what you possess. You draw some out, give it to the master of the feast. And so creating a well. How do you create a well? You got to draw some out, but you got to have something to draw from, which means you and I have to create a well. We have to dig deep. First thing is we have to be careful of our location. I'm going to touch base on a few things. I'm going to add to them. Be aware of polluted water tables. You can't dig a well near polluted water tables. Because if you dig a well near polluted water tables, if you're close to a polluted water table, it's gonna seep into your well, and you're gonna become polluted as well. Which tells us you gotta be careful who you're hanging around with. You gotta be careful who you allow, who you dig yourself next to. Because what's in them will eventually get in you. There's a pollution plague in the city. The Flint, Michigan stuff. That pollution is ruining the whole city. It's killing the whole city because the water source is polluted. The source is polluted. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. By the source of those who are upright, cities receive health and nourishment and strength. There's a story in 2 Kings 2:19. It says, the men of that city said to Elijah, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant. But as my Lord sees, the water is bad and the ground is barren. And he said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. Elijah said, bring me a new bowl. I don't want an old bowl. I don't want one that you've used before. I want a new bowl, and I want you to put salt in it. He's making reference to a covenant of salt, a covenant of preservation. It was spoken of David that he possessed a covenant of salt. The city was cursed by the water source. And so he said, bring me a new bowl. So they brought it to him. And then he went out to the source of the water and he cast the salt in there. And he said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. Because the water source was bad, the ground became barren. Barren soil because the source of life was polluted. What are you drinking? What are you drinking? Is the source of life that you're drinking from, is it polluted? More so. Does it come from the source of life? 2 Chronicles 13:5. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave dominion over Israel to David forever and to his sons by a covenant of salt? A covenant of salt is confirmed by sacrifice. A covenant of salt confirmed by sacrifice because salt preserved. Christ is the sacrifice that brings preservation to a polluted heart. Christ is the sacrifice that brings preservation. Salt preserves the sacrifice. And he says, okay, I'm going to give you a covenant. A covenant of salt. I want you to put salt in the water. If you'll put salt in the water, salt, that thing that preserves the sacrifice, it will bring healing to the source of polluted water. And so Elijah takes the salt and he throws it in there, symbolic of the Christ, the bride of Christ. You are the salt of the world, right? You are the salt and the light of the world. If you be thrown into a polluted situation, suddenly the source of life becomes alive. Suddenly that which was polluted turns to life. It comes alive. Because what salt did was they would take it and they would put it on the thing they killed. They would take it. They would take the lamb. They would kill the lamb. They would take the salt. They would cover it up and it would preserve it. It would preserve it. And Christ representing the lamb. And then he's saying, take salt, cover up the lamb, and then throw it in the situation. Take that salt and throw it in the situation. And that is what will bring life to polluted waters. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world today of polluted waters. They told me that there's a text going around in the school of a girl, a little girl who took a picture of herself and sent it to, and then suddenly they took it and the polluted waters now suddenly bringing destruction. And God said, no, I have a people. I have people who will go to the source and they'll throw in the salt. They'll become the salt to the polluted water. And when they are thrown into the water, they'll bring healing to it. So wherever situations or circumstances rise that bring pollution, you and I are the ones that God uses to throw into the situation and say, now bring healing to that. Bring healing to that. Bring healing to that broken heart. Bring healing to the one who's feeling rejected. Bring healing to it. Salt of covenant. And he says a new bowl. He needs a new heart made by new blood. A container that's not contaminated. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Give God a new life and a covenant, and he can turn the curse. Give God a new life, a fresh heart, and a fresh covenant, and he'll reverse the curse of every situation. He'll take what's polluted, and somehow, some way, he'll make redemption out of that. Somehow, some way, he'll take polluted waters, and he'll clean them up, and you'll drink them, and you'll go, wow, that tastes good. Secondly, dig during dry season, not wet season. You establish your salvation in seasons of difficult circumstances. You got to dig a well, but you don't dig wells in wet season, because in wet season, every little hole in the ground seems like a well. You dig during difficult seasons. Genesis 26 declares there was a famine in the land. Isaac planted in that same year that there was a famine, and he reaped 100-fold. When you feel most empty, it's the time when you learn to dig the most. When you feel most oppressed, when you feel most attacked, is the time when you dig into your faith the most. It's hard to know the reality of your faith in wet seasons. It's hard to know what you're made of when everything's going well. You don't know. That's what I'm saying. There was one guy, he came in, and he was a businessman, and he said, here's what I do to everyone I hire. He said, I put them out at my book table after every conference I do. He said, I make sure that I tell people, harass them, run on them, like just give them the business when you go out there. He said, and then I go over and I take notes, and I see how he responds to pressure. I see how he responds. Because you can't know what's inside of somebody until it gets real hard. And you and I can't know what's inside of us until it gets real hard. But it is then when it gets real hard that you know how to respond, that you learn how to respond. Your response to famine reveals the contents of your heart, the contents of your faith. How to respond. Number three, dig deep. Create a source for your future. Create a source for your future. Your children. Give your children something to drink. Genesis 26:18. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up, for Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. He says, create a source for your future. Create a source that's so deep that for generations, your children will come and drink at that well. Dig deep enough that the enemy sees your well and considers it a threat. Dig deep enough. You have to dig deeper. Everyone wants to be somebody. But nobody becomes anybody until something happens that makes you dig deep. We have to learn to dig deeper. Because your future is dependent on the depth of your well. You need to dig deeper, because 40 years later, people are still going to be drinking from that well. I mean, there's a story of John 4 when Jesus goes to a well in Samaria. He goes to a well because he knows that everyone around the region identifies that well as the well of Abraham. Abraham had dug a well so deep that it had lasted so many generations that Jesus, the Son of God, recognized the source of that well as being so deep that he had to go there. He recognized the source of that well. He said, Abraham was such a man of faith that he dug so deep that generations until me and after me will come to this spot and they will recognize this man's faith. Wow. We've got to learn to dig deep in our faith, because where you're going, even if you don't care about the next generation, your future depends on the depth of that well. Your career depends on the depth of that well. If you be in Christ, the depth of your well is meaningful to you. If you're satisfied with a 6-foot well, you're not, first of all, you're not dreaming big enough for God. Secondly, you're not going anywhere. Because as soon as famine comes, the water source and the water table will dry up and you'll starve. You'll die. Because without water, you will die. But those who tap into the wellspring of salvation learn that their salvation can't just be surface. It has to go down. It has to go down deep to the foundations of the water source and tap into it. She says, sir, you got nothing for me to draw with. And he looked back at her and he said, you recognize this well, but you don't recognize me. You recognize the tradition, but you don't recognize the source of the tradition. And until we recognize that Christ is it, and our tradition means nothing, we'll be empty. It's going to be empty. Until we realize that it's him and not really, you know, about what we do, but it's just him. And if we learn to dig deep in him, then suddenly we can tap into an unlimited source in our lives. Dig deep. You need a wellspring, something that flows continually. He said, if you'd asked me, I'd have gave you a drink and it would never stop giving to you. If you just ask me, I'll make your well so deep and it'll never stop giving to you. It'll actually come out of you. It'll come out of you. Lastly, we have to build strong. We have to build stronger wells in the kingdom. Stronger wells in the kingdom. It's hot in here. Stronger wells in the kingdom. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Paul said this, and that word be strong means to be filled with power. Be filled with power. Paul said, be filled with power. And in John, 1 John 4, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why are they saying these things? They're saying them to remind you that the pressure from the outside is so intense that if you don't pressurize the inside, it'll crush you. A submarine illustrates this. You ever go snorkeling or go to swim to the bottom of a pool? Hold your breath, go to the bottom of a pool, feel the pressure on your head. Because the pressure on the outside is greater than the pressure from the inside. But there's this thing that Jesus reminds us of. So you gotta create a well that's strong enough to contain. You need wineskins that are fresh. You need new wineskin to hold new wine. Because the pressure of life is so intense. It's so intense that if you don't build a strong enough well, the pressure from the earth is going to push in on that well. I used to work for the city. We'd have to go down inside of these deep holes in the ground. And we'd have to repair the brickwork that held the water when it rained. Because the moisture would push in on the bricks and they would collapse. It'd be so intense. And there were a couple of times when the guys would be in the hole. They'd be down there repairing it. And the force and the pressure from the outside was so strong that the hole would collapse and you'd have to run out of there for your life. And I feel like God is saying there's so many people running out of the well because they haven't reinforced their life. They haven't strengthened their life. They don't make it a priority in their life to strengthen their well that holds the water that will give them a drink when they're thirsty. We've got to make this thing strong, because as that submarine goes down, it has to do something. If it doesn't pressurize itself, I don't know the science behind this, but if the deeper it goes, the more it has to pressurize itself. Because it could be the strongest structurally made thing in the world, but if it doesn't pressurize itself, it'll get crushed by the weight of the ocean. And there's so many of us who need to take a time out and strengthen what remains. Strengthen our spiritual lives. We've got to make it a priority to read His word. Make it a priority to pray. Make it a priority to live right, love everybody, pray hard. Got to make it a priority to strengthen your life every day. Make sure that your life is strong, because the pressure's coming. The pressure's coming. This is why Jesus reminds you. He says, greater is the force on the inside of you than the force on the outside of you. Don't you ever forget that. Greater is He that is in you than the one that's pushing on you. Greater. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong. Be made strong. Because if you allow yourself, if you don't do it, you'll become weak. And the source of your life will be contaminated. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You that the pressure on the outside, the worry, the anxiety, the stress, the tension is no match for the pressure that comes from the inside. Thank You, Jesus, for making us strong. Thank You, Lord. We pray for every situation and circumstance that would be in opposition, God, to what You're doing in our life. Lord, thank You. Thank You for creating a well within us, that when situations happen, we have something to draw from. Right now, where You are, just draw from it. We draw some out, God. I draw some out now and offer healing. I draw some out now and offer encouragement. I draw some out now. Come against fear, a spirit of fear. Bless You today, God. We love You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we all stand to our feet as we prepare to close? I want to ask altar ministers to come up here. Come up here, altar ministers. Yeah, pastors, all the altar ministers. NCSSM students, come on. Up here. Give me some over here. Here's what I want to do. If you would like prayer, I feel like many times we allow ourselves to disregard these moments. Like this is a valuable moment in the kingdom, and I want you to be made aware of the value of this moment of receiving strength from heaven, partnered with one of these prayer people. That we're not just like, that they're not just here to kind of tell you pleasantries. They're here to reinforce promises. They're here to unlock heaven and to allow heaven to invade your circumstance, your situation. And so many times we'll just say, that's not, or I'm not comfortable with that. But if you need prayer, like if you need a word from God, or you need encouragement from God, or you're feeling fearful, or you're feeling overwhelmed with life, this is what we're here for. This is the field of faith that we offer. And so as we get ready to close, and we'll close in prayer with one another, but we're going to then go back into worship. And before we start greeting one another, we just want to be reverent to the fact that some people may need prayer, and we want to pray for you. Some people may need to commit their lives to the Lord, and we want to lead you in that. Amen. Let's all close our eyes and bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, we're thankful for this moment where you wish to invade earth with heaven. I pray, God, that for those that would need a touch, a word, an encouragement, strength, I pray, God, that you would fill our wells today to overflowing. That you would give us life and life more abundantly. That you would unlock in our hearts, unlock our hearts to receive the goodness of the Father. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. Thank you for this family of faith, this field. We commit and covenant to defend it. Thank you for the covenant of salt that you've made us to be. If there be any who do not know you, God, I thank you that you reveal yourself to them now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. If you need prayer, you can come now. We want to pray for you.